Welcome to Built to Go, a van life podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Wagg, coming to you from Chicago O'Hare International Airport, which is probably obvious. So I had all the best intentions in the world of recording a whole bunch of podcasts ahead of time for my extended trip to Europe that I'd like to take, and it didn't happen. I'm sorry, guys. I really wanted to. I have some canned stuff that just needs to be edited, and I might be able to get to that, but I'm not sure. Anyway, I apologize. Just stuff happened. Every time I sat down to record something, something else happened. And then this morning, when I had some free time, I got a phone call that somebody was in trouble. And well, that was the end of that. So here I am at the airport. I do have some things to talk about. And I wanted to talk about them. So we're going to just try to do one of these immediate podcasts that the app lets me do. And we'll see how it goes. So we have three topics for you. This is going to be a very quick one. First, I need to let you know that if you have a Ford truck, you're likely under a recall. They just recalled 400,000 trucks for windshield wiper failure, believe it or not. The windshield wipers can snap while you're driving in heavy rain and just fly off, and then suddenly you can't see anything, which doesn't sound like a good thing to me. So do some Googling, Google Ford truck recall, see if you're involved, and then get to your dealer and get that fixed. That would be important. The other thing is, Nelly suggested that we talk about workcamper.com. Now, I talked about this a long time ago, but it's a cool site. I think it's actually called Work Camper News, and that is spelled the word work and then camper with a K. So Work Camper News. I'm not gonna be able to do show notes, unfortunately. So that's all I get to give you. And it's not just a site to go find places to work, like seasonal jobs while you're camping, which it certainly is, but it's also kind of like a newsletter. They kind of keep you informed of everything that's going on around the country and different trends and stuff and how people are doing. So if you are the type of person who's looking for seasonal work, like, you know, you want to do the beet harvest or any of that kind of stuff, I think you definitely should get a subscription to workcamper.com. I think it's workcamper.com. You'll have to check me on that. And check it out. If nothing else, it's fun to see all the crazy jobs they have, like, you know, glass blower and all kinds of stuff. If you have a weird skill, it is possible that somebody will want it for a short amount of time, and that might mean they'll have it at a high rate of pay, which would be nice. Another thing I've been supposed to talk about for a while was bidets. Yes, Brian asked me to talk about bidets. So here's the deal. If you have a house, you have a toilet, probably, and a lot of people now are putting bidets on their toilets, and these are, they're, well, let's face it, folks, they're squirt guns. That's all they are. They're squirt guns. You press a button, and you get squirted, depending on where you want it, in different places, but you get the idea, okay? Now, you can get fancy ones for your house. I mean, some of them are warm, and you know, if you get really fancy, some of them have like blow dryers. And if you go to Japan, they'll sing to you and play music and make the sound of water. And they've taken this to an art form over there. But what about your van? What about in your RV? Well, if you have an RV with a plumbed toilet, that is a toilet that has water in it, that you press a button or something and water comes in there. Well, there's your thing right there. All you need is the water. A lot of RVs come with a sprayer that is attached to the wall next to the toilet. And folks may not know this, but that sprayer is there to clean the bowl. That's its purpose. Some folks decided it was to clean themselves. And you know what? That's okay. It works. It's just coming out of the fresh water tank. It's fine. You can do that. So if you have a water source going to your head, your commode, whatever you want to call it, you can tap into that and put a sprayer in there. And that's what I would do. I would not try to get one of the toilet seat bidets to fit in your RV. Unless you have a porcelain toilet that takes normal size toilet seats, you're probably going to be better off just putting in some kind of a sprayer. Now, for those of us in self builds, what are we going to do? Or people who even have no builds? Well, there's a bunch of options. I mean, think about the concept of what you're trying to do here. It's a squirt gun. You can use anything that will work. I mean, you can buy custom-made pocket bidets. They come in discreet little bags, and you can put them in your suitcase or whatever, and then you just fill them up with whatever kind of water you want. You know, you can put hot water or cold water or soapy water or, I don't know, whatever you'd like to do there, folks. that's probably the easiest, simplest option. It's like $9 or something for the things. They're not expensive. And you can get just fancier from there. Now, the thing about temperature is the big deal. Some people are sensitive to the temperature. And if you have your own portable one, I mean, you can just pour lukewarm water in there, or you can even microwave it a little bit. But remember that the tissues that will be encountered in this process might be a bit sensitive. So do not put boiling hot water in there. You will regret that. I might laugh at you, but you will regret that. So yeah, you can absolutely have a bidet. In fact, if you can have a bidet for free, actually, you can just get an old Coke or Pepsi bottle and modify the lid in such a way that it sprays in a certain direction, and that works. In fact, I have... Oops, they're talking to me. Okay, no problem. I have seen attachments for Coke bottles that do that, so that is an option. Let's see, what was the other topic? Oh, I was talking with John about the goldfish problem. Remember the goldfish problem? Goldfish problem is somebody said they wanted to bring a goldfish in their van, and everyone was like, that's stupid, you're gonna hurt the fish and all this stuff. And I was like, well, we shouldn't have that attitude. We should see what we can do to help this person. It's okay to state your opinion and say that's probably not the best pet of choice, whatever. But it's interesting to look at the problem. How would you keep a goldfish in your van? And well, we haven't quite got there yet, but John and I both are experimenting with different types of tanks that might work in a van. John has a few of those EcoSpheres. Now, the original company that made EcoSpheres is out of business, but the people, other companies are making them, and they're sealed glass balls that I believe have seawater in them. They're salt water, and there's a little bit of algae in there, and there's a live shrimp and some rocks. And you don't have to do anything to this. You just... That's it. That's the whole thing. It needs to have a certain amount of light every day, and you've got to make sure the temperature is managed, which is the challenge. But, sorry, I have to listen for announcements. I know this is weird. I'm weird. You're weird. Everyone's weird. Let's embrace it. So, they're glass. They're fragile. But you could, if you were very careful, and you had controlled conditions over your temperature, like you were traveling at a moderate time of year, or you had really good air conditioning, heat, whatever, you could potentially get one of those to work. They're a bit expensive, so you're taking a little bit of a risk. I'm doing something totally different. I have built a Wolstad tank. That's Wolstadt, I think. Wolstad, something like that. This is a living tank that you actually start with potting soil. You fill a tank with potting soil, and then you put an inch of sand on top of the potting soil, and then you plant certain species of plants in there and fill it up with water, and that's it. No animals. Don't do any animals yet. And you let that sit for like a month, and all kinds of stuff happens. All these little creatures appear, and they all crawl around and stuff. And mine, a whole colony of snails just appeared. I didn't put them in there. There must have been eggs on the plants, and I have all these snails living in there now. And the thing about these tanks is you don't add food. You don't even change the water. You can keep a cover on them. And the fact that you can keep a cover on them means that you could have them in the van. They have the same restrictions as EcoSpheres. You need a certain amount of light and you need a certain amount of heat. And obviously you don't want to spill them, and your tank is probably going to be glass because glass makes the nicest tanks. You could do it in plastic. But the cost is zero. And the risk is, you know, you'll get muddy water in your van. And, you know, yeah, there's animals involved, but... Wait, one sec. Nope, same message. I'm sorry. But the animals involved are snails and shrimp. I have a single shrimp living in my tank. He's very happy. He's very curious. And it turns out that shrimp are much more interesting to watch than fish. It is difficult to have a fish in these tanks. Fish are messy, basically, and shrimp are not. You can have 1, 2, 3 shrimp in a 4-gallon tank pretty easily. But anyway, it's progress. We're making progress. It is a thing that we might be able to solve. My goal is to have something like this and be able to bring it to a van fest and say, look, you know, we'll see. Anyway, the thing looks really cool. It sits on my desk and it lights up, and I think it's really cool. So there's that. And I also have a tale from the road. Tales from the road. Oh, it's not official unless I do that, I've been told. So a while back, I was trying to get my kids to Chicago. They were teenagers. I went back to Vermont to visit them, and then we ended up in Boston. And the plan is we were going to take Amtrak from Boston to Chicago in a sleeper car. You know, at the back of the train, there's this big family room that has like four beds and stuff. And I thought, this is really cool. And then we had to change trains from Boston, I think, in New York. But the train from Boston to New York got canceled because of a snowstorm. And that's bad because the trains are canceled. Almost certainly all the flights are canceled. We didn't have a car, so what were we going to do? Well, there comes my dad. My dad comes to the rescue. He rents a Jeep. Just suddenly, miraculously, shows up with a Jeep, and he drives us all the way down to New York. And we're like, okay, that is above and beyond. So he drives us all the way down there. We get there at like 2 a.m. The train's at 4 a.m. We're hanging out in the train depot, and my dad drives off. You know, he's done. And then we get this announcement. That train's been canceled, too. Oh, no. So now I'm in New York with the kids with no car and nothing to do. And I get up and I'm like, all right, let's figure this out. And then my dad walks in the door. He had a hunch that was going to happen and waited outside for like 2 hours. Then he came back in and he said, okay, I think I have a way to do this. And he rerouted us through Harrisburg, Pennsylvania somehow. And it was going to work. We were going to go like from there to Harrisburg, to Pittsburgh, and change trains in Pittsburgh. I don't know. Anyway, it was amazing. And he took us to the next train, and that train went. But it wasn't the sleeper. It was the train we were going to connect to the sleeper on. It was fine. We were getting there. That train left. He left. It was all good. And he saved the day. And then it got windy. And it got really, really windy. And a train in front of us was blown off the tracks into the river off a bridge in Harrisburg. It was not a passenger train, it was just freight cars, but it blocked the train and we couldn't go anymore. So they took us to a station and they said, it's okay, we're gonna put you on a bus and we're gonna get you to Pittsburgh. Okay, so I'm exercising maximum patience at this point and my kids are being wonderful. I mean, they didn't sign up for any of this crap and they're teenagers, you know how teenagers are. My kids have always been really, really good in cases like this. Get on the bus, fine, it's like a 2 hour ride in the bus, okay, whatever, and we're going, and we're on I-70, and you know, I-70, the oldest interstate in the United States, has these big long tunnels, and just as we're getting to the tunnels, the bus driver slams on the brakes. And, sorry, I had to listen to the announcement again. Slams on the brakes right in front of the tunnel, because this massive chunk of ice had fallen from the roof of the tunnel and like blocked the entrance to the tunnel. And we're like, you have got to be kidding me. There is some force out there that does not want us to get to Chicago. So what do? Well, you wait. We waited on the bus for 90 minutes and then finally got the ice cleared. And then we rolled into Pittsburgh and yeah, we had missed our train because it took us so long to get there. But being Amtrak, the train was late too. That train was so late that even though we were like 5 hours late, it didn't matter because that train was late. We finally got on the train and we get into the family room and we're exhausted and it's not set in sleeping mode because it was so close to daytime that the person who does that kind of stuff in there had set it up to day mode. And we're like, can you set this to sleeping mode? We've been up for like 26 hours at this point. And he's like, no, it's daytime. You don't, please. And so we converted it all to night mode. And we had like a 5 hour nap. And yeah, then we got to Chicago and had a fine time. It was fine. But what's the lesson from this? Stay calm. Keep your eye on the target. Have friends in the right places. And have really good kids. If you can manage all those things, you're doing pretty good in life, I think. Okay, they're starting to do stuff here, so I'm going to end this very strange podcast. Again, I apologize for not being able to attend your podcast. Before I go, I want to thank Terry for the maple syrup. That was very kind of you, Terry. I appreciate it. And I'm sorry I'm not living up to it by not being able to do the podcast regularly. Okay, guys, have a wonderful life. I hope to talk to you soon, but right now I'm about to head into the sky.